A very warm welcome to all of you to Ayurvedic Healing and Beyond podcast. This is your host, Dr. Vignesh Devraj. In this podcast, I am dedicating this episode for the World Sanskrit Day, which is happening today, which is the 12th of August. Usually this happens on the full moon after the Guru Purnima. So this is coming under the Sravana Masa, that is Sravana month in the Hindu calendar, and the full moon of that Sravana month. Now, this is a creation of Samskrita Bharati, which is involved in promoting Ayurveda around the world, even though many people consider Sanskrit as a dead language. But it is not. There is a lot of life still towards it. And we all are indebted to Sanskrit for many of the words that we have understood today. So in today's episode, I will be talking about some of the fascinating words I understand in Sanskrit. And from my childhood, I was very fascinated how words are formed. And ever since I started understanding and learning Sanskrit, some of the words, how they formed, it always fascinated me, the why behind these words. So let's just start with some of the words associated with Ayurveda and also in general. Now, one of the words that we all use in Ayurveda is the word dosha. Now, the word dosha comes from dushayati iti dosha. That means anything that can disturb, anything that can create an imbalance, anything that can trigger. That's what the word dosha comes from. And also, let's take the word dhatu. The word dhatu comes from dharanat dhatavaha. The word dharanat literally means anything that supports, anything that holds, anything that is creating the foundation. So dhatus are the things that creates the foundation in the body. Now let's look at the word for human body, which is called as sharira. Now the sharira is coming from shiryate anena iti shariram, which means that which goes on a self-destructive mode, or that which keeps dying every moment. And that is true, because every moment billions of cells in our body are dying and new cells are being formed. Now, it doesn't mean that our body is dead. It means that it's a continuous tense. We are constantly dying and being reborn. And that's how the nature is. We cannot destroy energy or create energy. It's always being converted to one form to another form. So, sharira is that which keeps dying and being reborn. And that's what the word sharira means. So if you are alive, that means you are continuously dying. And if you are dead, means you stop dying. That's what the word sharira actually means. Now, there is one word which we also use in spiritual terminology called moksha. Literally, the word moksha means enlightenment. Now, if you look at the etymology, it comes from moham kshayati iti moksha. The word moha literally means illusion or desires or dreams or something that I want, which may be like a maya. Maybe it's not the thing that is going to give me the real happiness, but at that point of time, it looks like it's going to make me very happy or satisfied. And kshaya means depletion. So when there is a depletion of my moha, that is called as moksha. That is a state of enlightenment, that I don't need anything from external validation or anything from external to make me happy. So I am very much self-contained. And now that's why the word moksha, even though people consider moksha means enlightenment, it is actually depletion of all your illusions or desires or the need for things that you feel is going to make the biggest difference. So that's what the word moksha means. It's quite a fascinating definition. Now, if you look at the word karma, now, I'm sure many of the word associate the word karma with the book Kama Sutra, which has a lot to do with lust or sexuality. But what does the word karma literally mean? Karma means lust or desire. Both of them comes under that. But if we break that word karma, it has two phonetical sounds, ka and ma. The word ka means were and ma means me. So, if there is a desire, you lose yourself in that desire and then you forget about yourself. The word ma literally means me and the source energy or the energy that which created whatever that is. It's the origin. Like even in many languages, we have the word mother, mine, me. All of that comes from the word ma. In Sanskrit, we have this terminology called makarantam, anything that starts with ma. So, kama means I lose myself. That's what the word kama actually means. And in Ayurveda, we also have the word ama. The word ama literally means, a means not, ma means not me. So, something that which is not me, some food or something that I consume or listen to or some information that I perceive, and if I'm not able to digest it physically or mentally, that becomes a potential ama, that becomes like a poison, because I'm not able to blend it and integrate it into my system. And that is what is ama. And the longer it stays in the body, which is not blending with you, it creates a lot of troubles. So that's why the word ama means that which is not you. And that's also the Sanskrit term, you could also call it for toxins or that which is near to poison. So literally, ama means that which is not me. And also let's take the word for mind, which is called as manas. Manas actually comes from manas, which actually means to calculate. And that's what our mind does. We are constantly calculating. We are constantly anticipating. And that's the duty of our mind. So if, in fact, the word manas means to calculate, to assume, to anticipate, and that's what the mind does, and that's what the word manas actually represent. When you say manas in Sanskrit, it means something that is constantly going to calculate or measure. In fact, in Ayurveda, we have this terminology called as mana paribhasha, which means it is a way of measuring the weights or the scales. Like we have different metric systems, like in US, they weigh the weight in pounds. In UK and some of the world's some of the part of the world, you weigh in kilograms or grams. Same way, we have a terminology called as mana paribhasha, which talks about how the weighing systems were used. And it is called as mana paribhasha. And that is also from where the word manas comes. Mana paribhasha actually means a method and a description of how to measure things. And that's what the word manas also does. It is constantly measuring. Now let's look at some of the other interesting words. And if you look at the word in English, we have the word called divine. It is actually coming from the word divya. Divya means something that which is cannot be explained in words. It's something beyond the physicality of it. It's called, there is a grace to it. There is a divinity associated with it. That's how the English word divine actually comes from the Sanskrit root word divya. Now, there are many people with the name divya. Divya actually means something that which is divine. Now, if you look at the word for sugar in Sanskrit, it's called as sharkara. Now, if you look at the way this word has come, sharkara is like the, also the word used for jaggery or sugar. When it went to the Persian countries, it became sahar. And even in Russia, it's called sahar. And then if you go to Germany, it's called sukkar. And then in English, it's called sugar. So, sharkara, how it evolved to sugar. And also, if you look at the word zen, now let's see how it came from. Zen is a state of no mind. Now, in Sanskrit, we have this word called as dhyan. Dhyan is a word for, it's like a state of no mind, where we are not thinking about anything. Now, when this word dhyan went to China and Tibet, it became chan. And then when it went to Japan, this word chan became zen. So it's actually the word zen has its origin from the word dhyan. And now let's look at the numerical number 3, which I will have to use it in many other words, how this has come up. Now the word, the number 3, like the numerical 1, 2, 3, the word 3, most of the languages has the numerical terminology for the third number as 3. Like in English, we have 3, triple. Even in German, you have the word tri. In Sanskrit, it's called as trini or 3 itself. But where does this word 3 comes from? Now, the root of the word 3 comes from the word tra. Now, the tra literally means to protect. Now, why is the word protect or the word which has a meaning protect associated with the numerical number 3? This I usually talk about when I talk about the woman's health, I talk about this. But before that, let me just explain the word tra. The word tra means to protect. And in geometry, if you look at a triangle, the third one gives the completion of that. There is a sacred geometry in triangle, or even in a pyramid, you'll see the three sticks standing together. The third one completes it. There is a protection involved in that. So the third one is actually coming from the word protect, because it completes it and it protects it. And that's why in most of the languages, because it came from the Sanskrit word tra to become three, in every language we have the number for third numerical number as three. So it actually comes from tra. And in fact, if you look at the word mantra, it actually means to protect from your mind. And like that, the word tra literally means to protect. And also in Sanskrit, the word for woman is stri. Like the word tra means to protect, and that's why tra. And tri is like the feminine gender of the word tra. So S plus tri is stri. If you decode the sandhi of stri, it is sa plus tri. Now sa means something that which is refined. Now you have many phones which has iPhone 10S or XS or S class. XS. So the word S means something which is excellent or superb or premium or very much elegant. So that's why stri means something that which can protect the community in a refined manner. That's what the word woman in Sanskrit is stri. It's coming from the word tra, tri, stri. I hope that's quite helpful. And if you look at the word guru, why is it called guru? Like a teacher is called as guru. Now, guru has many associations. One is the remover of darkness. Guru. Gu is darkness. Ru is remover. So that which removes the darkness. And also, guru also means that which is heavy. Now, why is something that which is called heavy can become also be called as a teacher? The reason is a guru brings stability. And in order to be stable, you need to have a good foundation. And that foundation comes with an anchor. And what does an anchor? Anchor is quite heavy, so that the ship doesn't keep floating with the wind, so that there is a stability towards it. And that's why a guru, which is also called as heavy, is also called as a teacher, because teacher someone is someone who gives you that stability in your thinking. So these are some of the fascinating words. There are much more, but this is just for your understanding. When you learn a new language, it actually enhances your nerve connectivity and it makes you young. And it's also fantastic for the brain. And it's also, makes new memory cells or the new nerve cells to be activated. I hope you enjoyed these words, how they are formed in Sanskrit. And I also take this opportunity to thank some of my best Sanskrit teachers. In fact, one of my most favorite Sanskrit teacher, one of the most interesting thing about him is he was a Muslim. And he spoke about Sanskrit like he loved it. And because I had that teacher, I'm still grateful to him. Muhammad Sharif is his name. Because of him, I fell in love with Sanskrit. So I am indebtedly grateful to this teacher. And also I had many other teachers when I was studying Ayurveda. I had fantastic teachers, Dr. Vijaya. She was a fantastic teacher. And then during my childhood, I had a teacher called Saraswati. She used to teach me Sanskrit. There was a teacher called Raji. She used to teach me Sanskrit. All these teachers, I remember them. And I have, for my rest of my life, I am indebted to them, to all the knowledge that they have invoked in me. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you like it, please do share, subscribe, and do write a review to it so that we can spread the vision of this podcast. I hope you all enjoyed it, and thank you.